Brunswick mit Cold Scores auf Flux FM, 15 Uhr und 17 Minuten in der Morning Show am Nachmittag. Und der Künstler aus London ist bei mir im Studio quasi gerade eingeflogen. Vor wenigen Stunden saß er noch im Flugzeug und jetzt sitzt er bei mir im Flux FM Studio. Hello and welcome to Flux FM, Brunswick.
Hey man, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I got a bit worried there. I thought I was going to have to speak in German for the rest of the show.
Have you tried speaking German?
I haven't, no. I'm pretty useless. I wouldn't want to do that.
The thing is, Berlin has become such an international city over the last
I love it here,
10 to 15 years. Everybody's going to be able to talk English to you.
Yeah.
They're going to understand you, not only language-wise, but, you know, they're going to understand your soul,
yeah, man.
Your thoughts. It's going to be nice. So welcome to Berlin. This is going to be your first show in Berlin, or
it
what?
It is, yeah. This is the second time I've been here. I love the city.
Cool.
And I'm really excited to be here. I absolutely love this place.
So you've been here as a tourist before?
I have been here as a tourist, kind of for tourism and kind of for work at the same time.
Cool.
Yeah, I wrote some music out here before. And yeah, this time I'm enjoying it a lot more because last time I was by myself and I didn't really know what I was doing. I got a bit lost in the east side. So, yeah, it's cool here. I'm excited to play tonight as well. So it's going to be great.
So you brought your whole crew? You're going to play with the band tonight?
Yeah, I brought my whole band.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man.
Ah, looking forward to that. You started out as a guy who made beats on his laptop.
I did.
You wanted to impress guys and girls who rapped and who were your friends, and you were like, maybe I'll try and build some beats for them.
I wanted to impress some people that I thought were a lot cooler than me. So I made beats for them, and they came back with stuff that I was never able to write, and I thought, oh, this is dope, this is sick. And then then I started sending them off to more and more people, and then it would come back and I'd be like, hang on, this isn't, I can do better than this. So then I'd end up writing their lyrics for them and their raps for them and stuff like that. And that's how I got into songwriting.
Oh, so you also wrote some raps for those guys. Because I was thinking like, yeah, sure, maybe he realized that the hook line kind of sucked.
Yeah, that's the thing. So
and came up with a new one, but it's not only the hook lines.
So now I'm writing really depressing love songs, but back then I was writing really hardcore gangster stuff for these hardcore rappers in East London, man.
But I really think it's a good first lesson in making music to just start with a collaboration kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know? Not put your head down and get lost in your
own
sounds.
You can get lost in your own. Yeah, you can get lost in your own head.
Yeah.
It's good to be surrounded by other people that are from a completely different world.
Yeah.
So then you have more perspective of what you want to make.
Yeah. And that's another thing that pop music can provide, actually, right? To show you a different perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe show you what people of color think about certain things.
100%.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So that was a good first lesson in making music. And one can still listen, one can still feel that there's a love for hip-hop
of
when
course.
One's listening to your music.
Of course, yeah, because, you know, I like to think my music is kind of a blend of those, of two genres, which is R&B and hip-hop with the production style and then with the songwriting. I like to think it's more influenced by bands like the Pixies and Nirvana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it's bands from the 90s and from the UK and from Seattle and from America and the whole grunge scene.
Yeah.
I'm totally into that sort of stuff. So
Rhythm and grunge is
yeah, rhythm
the
and
genre
grunge,
that
R&G.
You invented.
Not R&B, R&G.
Yeah, it sounds great, though. R&G is even better than rhythm and grunge because the G thing kind of like hits into the hip-hop area.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's R&G. He's our first R&G artist on Flux FM. Now we're right into the History Channel thing.
Yeah.
And we've established the fact that you started out with making beats for rappers that were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like a trip to Brighton that and you were partying a lot. I don't really get it.
Yeah.
You were partying a lot. And then all of a sudden you realized that guitar music isn't so bad for you at all.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a weird story, man. I mean, I don't know if I can, you know, say all of it on here. But, you know, there are probably kids listening and stuff like that. But I went down to Brighton and I ended up staying down there with one of my bandmates, Jacob, who's my guitarist. And I was, for a summer, I was kind of just experimenting and you know, messing around and partying and whatever. And this one night, there was like a massive group of us around this table, and we were like absolutely, you know, gone, and we wrote this song. And I there was something about this song that kind of stuck with me, so I was like, okay, cool. So I went back to London.
It was Plastic Tones?
No, Plastic kisses. Plastic kisses. How did you know that?
I've researched.
Okay. Wow. God. Yeah. I want to know what else you know about me.
You should be a bit scared. Maybe he knows too much.
Oh God. So then, yeah. So okay, growing up in London and growing up with a certain with around certain types of people, you know, that there's not a lot of open-mindedness when it comes to production and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it feels like you're kind of stuck into you know, a certain lane. It's kind of, at the moment it feels like, you know, it's either pop or it's grime slash R&B or whatever, and then you're indie.
Yeah,
and I kind of was interested in kind of like, what if we just like meshed all these genres together and create something new instead of just doing the traditional thing? So I came up from Brighton after writing this song, and then I put my production, which I'd learned from hanging out with all these kids or whatever, and it just created this whole new sound. And my, you know, my mum came in and she listened to my music before and she thought it was okay, and she came and she heard that and she was like, yo, like, what the
cool,
you know? Yeah,
nice though.
And she was like, you need to start making this.
So your mother's involved in the story as well.
Yeah, yeah. She can't claim copyright on any of that, man.
Oh, no, I have to give all the money to mother.
Yeah, definitely not.
No, but it's a great story. I really dig that story. It seems to me as if you're not shying away from writing about stuff like drug abuse or mental health issues or something. And I really feel that more musicians do that, though. And I think it's a good idea, first of all, because I'm not interested in stories about the ex-girlfriend being, you know, if it's only that, I'm really not interested. Sorry. Yeah. It's not a new perspective for me. I've had ex-girlfriends who were nerving, you know, and nerving as well. But I think more and more people do that. And I think it's like a nice way to avoid stuff like toxic masculinity, for example, you know. Do you feel that way as well? Or do you feel like...
I feel like if you're a true artist, you're going to be able to write about a broad range of things and a wider scope of interest that people can relate to instead of just one or two things, you know. I personally feel like I anything that I write about, if it's a bad thing, I'll never try and glorify it. Say for drug abuse or anything like that. Everything that I write is from personal experience and stuff like that, and you know, writing is a way of, I feel like writing is kind of like a therapy kind of thing for me. It's very therapeutic and it's amazing, and it's like, you know, the reason why I write songs is because it's better than any drug I've ever taken.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you can literally get a natural high from doing something that you really love, and it's amazing. You don't feel like rubbish afterwards.
Yeah, and I think that's another important thing, to have like this perspective on drug abuse or even using drugs that is like, that has to do something with the truth and is not glorifying it, because that's something that happens in hip-hop nowadays, a lot, you know?
Yeah, so like there's a lot of people that have got in trouble for saying what I really believe, which is like, you know, back in the day, it was like, you know, bands like Motley Crue and stuff like that.
Yeah,
they were glorifying drugs and sex and girls and, you know, toxic masculinity and being really kind of, you know, very kind of like weirdly sexist and stuff like that. And it still goes on today in different genres of music, and no one really says anything about it.
Yeah,
and it's you know, that's not my thing. It's like, I don't approve of it or disapprove of it. It's music. You should be able to create what you want to create.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's I don't do it. I don't really care about it. I have no
interest in
it.
You do have a certain responsibility as an artist, I think, of course, right?
You got kids listening to your music, man. Like, you know, if you've got loads of fans of 16-year-olds and you're talking about stabbing someone in the neck, you know, that might influence one or two of them.
Yeah.
To just feel a bit angrier than if they were listening to a song about the sunshine.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I try and stick away from anything which isn't a natural feeling for me. But I'm not an angry guy, man. I don't want to go around killing people.
No, but I think it's really important that, especially nowadays, that young musicians take a perspective like that, because all the other stuff doesn't interest me, as I just said.
But at the end of the day, you know, people that do write certain stuff like that, it's because, you know, some people can fake a lot of what they're doing, but like, you know, some rappers and stuff, they're from really bad parts of the world.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
They do live their life, and it's like, you know, they're just expressing themselves. They should be allowed to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it's made into a commercial interest and it's being done by other people that aren't from that area or aren't from doing that, and they're appropriating with that lifestyle, it's kind of wrong, because then you're making money off someone else's struggle.
Yeah. Now, I was just thinking more of the white average guy from London who's singing about his ex-girlfriend, with, you know, with no special special story attached
to it, because we call it the school of 2005
we call it the school of 2005 you know, when all the British bands were like huge, extremely huge, and they were all like singing about their feelings more or less and nothing more. There was no political aspect
but
to it,
but people like that, man. You know, you can't ever doubt the cheese. People like cheese.
Do like cheese, people out there. I don't care, but cheese doesn't interest me anymore.
Of course not. You know what, man,
I'm more into, like, I don't know.
You like Nirvana? You like Nirvana?
Yeah, something. Yeah, sure.
Well, there you go, man.
Yeah. You're right. You can't just diss away cheese. I've realized, or I've found out that you're a huge Hans Zimmer fan. German composer,
yeah,
Hollywood composer.
I'm obsessed with cinematic orchestras, and I had a classical upbringing.
All right, cool.
And I've always been obsessed with music and films.
Yeah. So are you, is that your, like, part of your future plans to one day write?
Oh my God, I'd love
score.
That. I'd love that. Yeah. I grew up recording in like Abbey Road Studios.
Wow.
When I was a kid. And
what kind of upbringing is that?
I went to a very it was a weird music school in Fulham in London.
Uh-huh.
I was in this choir, and the choir had sung like The Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and stuff like that.
Nice.
So then I wasn't there for a lot of the recordings, but when I joined later on, you know, we were recording for a lot of big people and a lot of film orchestras and stuff like that with the Royal Philharmonic. And I used to do shows in the Royal Albert Hall for The Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. So then, since then, I've always been obsessed with how music is in film. And, you know, Hans Zimmer, I feel like, is the best person to ever do it, with films like Dunkirk and Batman and Inception and, you know, Interstellar and all that stuff. I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah, the cool thing about him is, I mean, that's one thing that always makes an artist stand out from the rest, is that he's able to provide different ideas to different movies, right?
Yeah.
It's not you listen to it like, oh, it's Hans Zimmer again.
Yeah.
You listen to it, you read his name,
you never
like,
know.
Oh,
yeah,
motherfucker, he's back.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yeah. Sorry, I've been so scared of not so swearing on this show.
No, you can. It's German
radio. You just
radio.
Did it, man. Oh my God,
I'm
man.
So
dude,
sorry.
I've been so scared the whole time from trying not to, man. And you just went out with a big one, dude.
I'm so sorry. You've made it to the end of the interview without swearing, and I did. I'm so sorry.
Oh, man.
So have great fun at tonight's show.
Yeah.
I'll join you later on, and I want to wish you the best of luck for your next future plans, for the next steps
Thank
that
you
you've
so
planned.
Thank you so much, dude. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, you know where we live now. You can visit us again. Brunswick mit F nochmal zum Abschluss unseres Gesprächs. Der Künstler wird heute Abend auftreten im Rahmen des Flux FM Bergfests. Thank you, bye bye.